senses, come back again in another human form. Mm-hmm. Somewhere else you may get a body.
Okay. But so it's not just once more.
No. It can go on forever till you get spiritually released from this condition state.
Okay. Yeah. I'll say.
No, it's not one thing. It could
wrong.
Be for any amount of time.
I heard wrong. Oh my God, what do I do with this? I haven't come to this anymore.
It's not like that. Yeah.
Still have good chances.
Oh yes. Chances are there.
Very good.
Very good.
I was fighting.
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Vishnupadayam Vishnuprataya Bhutale Srimati Vedanta Swamiti Namini. Vishnupadaya Krishna Prataya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namini. Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pratarini Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatyadesha Tarini. Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pratarini Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatyadesha Tarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivatari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Girivara Dhari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare. Krishna, 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 Krishna Hare. Krishna, 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 Pahi Maam. Krishna, 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 Krishna Hare. Krishna, 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 Pahi Maam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Rama Raghava Rakshamam. Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rakshamam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Rakshamam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Rakshamam.
Song from songbook, page 81. Page 81 from songbook. prayer to the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga. Prayers to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Koro More Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Koro More Toma Vina Kedayalu Jagat Samsare Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Koro More Tuma Vina Ke Dayalu Jagat Samsare Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Koro More Toma Vina Ke Dayalu Jagat Samsare Pavana Hedu Tavayavatara Mutame Patida Prabhu Pavana Hedu ప్రభు నిత్యానంద ప్రేమానంద సుఖీ దుఃఖాపలోకానా కరు అమీబాద దుఃఖీ
Thank you.
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Yeah.
പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ് ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി ഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദക്കി ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ണോ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമ ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോവ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗുരു ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമി ശുംഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ബുദ്ധലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവിനാന്ദ സ്വാമി നാമി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ദൂരവാണി പ്രചാരണേന വിശേഷശൂന്യവാദി പാശാചലേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകതാ മഹ്യം ദദാതിം സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധനാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ സ്തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹദ് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസജാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാഭികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോത്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസര ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്രേബീയമാനം മുത ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതമംഗജ കരിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്മന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവേർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാമസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Like last Sunday, we were discussing the 8th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. And basically we were talking about the two processes called Devayanam and Pitriyanam. And we have seen that Krishna says there to Arjuna that these two parts, Devayanam and Pitriyanam, exist for those who are trying to free themselves from this material world, and those who are traveling in the path of Devayanam, they are going towards the spiritual world, and those who are in the Pitriyanam, they will stay back in this karma mandalam or in this world of karma, where continuously one rotates through the wheel of karma, he has to accept another body again and come back here. So Pitriyanam, although it has no possibility of releasing oneself from this material body, we'll come back again here and continue our life cycle once again, accepting another body, and whatever that has been decided according to the consciousness in which one dies at the time of death, and also based on one's karma, what is left behind to be fructified. So in that connection, we were discussing about Bhishma Pitamaha, the great personality in the Mahabharatam as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhishma, as we have seen, that Yudhishthira Maharaj had this great difficulty after the Mahabharat war, that he felt himself heavily responsible for the death of so many people. And the result of that was that he even came to the state of criticizing Krishna, that Krishna was responsible for the death of millions of people. Millions of children were left behind without parents. Millions of women were left behind without their husbands. And like that, he felt altogether a great distress coming from that, from this war. And he expressed this distress directly to Krishna and to all the other brothers in the palace. And the result was that Krishna decided to speak to Yudhishthira Maharaj about it. And in an assembly of all the great sages like Vyasadeva, Vedavyas, Dhaumya, and so many others listed in the Bhagavatam, Krishna spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj once again, Bhagavad Gita, which he has spoken to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But although Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira Maharaj could not absorb that, or could not understand did not have any effect on him. And then Krishna pointed out to him that, let us go and see Bhishma, who is lying on the bed of arrows now, waiting for Uttarayanam period to come. Uttarayanam period to come. Uttarayanam is the time when the sun travels in the northern hemisphere of the planet. And that time is auspicious because of the predominating deity of Uttarayanam allows the soul which is being released, who is on its way up towards the higher planets. Agnir Jyotiraha Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam. Krishna says like that in the Bhagavad Gita. So that's where we stopped last Sunday. And continuing from there, Krishna arrives at the place where Bhishma Pitamaha was lying there on the bed of arrows. Actually, Bhishma was experiencing, as if you see Bhishma at that time, the bed of arrows was really painful for him. And Arjuna has arranged this bed for him. Why did Bhishma fall into this situation? Why did Bhishma have to lie on the bed of arrows? This question often people ask, isn't it? After all, Bhishma was a great devotee. He could have left the body then and there. But if he had to stay back, waiting for Uttarayanam to come, even then, why did he have to fall into this situation? That this question has been asked, and acharyas have discussed this also topic, why this situation happened. That people sometimes think that, especially in the case of Bhishma Pitamaha, what has happened is, when Draupadi was disrobed in the asali of Dhritarashtra and all the other great personalities who were present there, after the in Mahabharata it is mentioned like this, that after the after they had the game of gambling, when they had between Duryodhana and Yudhishthira Maharaj, eventually Yudhishthira Maharaj lost the game, and he started putting one thing after the other, pawning them, and in that process eventually he pawned Draupadi also, and she was under the control of the on the control of Kauravas. And Duryodhana asked Dushasana to bring Panjali or Draupadi to the assembly and wanted to undress her, take her clothes away. And that mentality of Duryodhana and Dushasana was very prominent in their activity. Now the only person who could have prevented that, according to the great authorities, was Bhishma. Bhishma could have done that there. And nobody could have stopped Bhishma if he wanted to stop that. Nobody could have stopped him. Because after all, if you know Bhishma's history, as I mentioned before, that Bhishma had one point went to the palace of the king of Kashi and brought Amba, Ambi and Ambalika, all three the girls from there, forcefully showing his courage, his Kshatriya nature to them. And if Bhishma decides to do something, neither Dhritarashtra, nor Duryodhana, nor Karna, nor Shalya, or any of the Kauravas who were present there could have stopped him from doing that. But in spite of that, Bhishma did not do anything about it. Because Bhishma did not do anything about it, Draupadi had started praying to Krishna, and Krishna protected her at the end. Isn't it? That story is very well known to everybody. That who have read Mahabharata will know that how Draupadi was protected. Yatvara Draupadi trane, yatvara gajarakshane, mayatve karanamurte, satvara kugadahare. Draupadi's prayers to Krishna. That Draupadi was protected at that point by Krishna's mercy alone. Bhishma did not do anything about it. Some acharya's opinion is that in order as a punishment for that, Krishna has given this bed of arrows to Bhishma before leaving the body. It was a punishment for not doing anything about it when he could have done something about it, which he didn't do. As a punishment of that, Bhishma was given this bed of arrows to suffer a little bit here before going back to his original state of position as a Vasu in the heavenly planets. So, that is one situation. But, what did Bhishma do when this incident happened in the assembly? Actually, Bhishma was in a very difficult situation in the sense that Bhishma's point was that, first of all, this gambling should not have happened between Yudhishthira and Duryodhana. When Duryodhana invited Yudhishthira to engage in gambling, Yudhishthira should have refused that. After all, Yudhishthira was a pious king. He knew the principles of the administration or principles of the king. Royal responsibilities was known to him. And gambling has to be stopped among the human society by the king, by the authorities have to stop gambling, isn't it? That's the duty of the authorities, not to allow people to gamble. Of course, now government encourages to gamble. So that everybody, we all together sink into the same level. But as far as the principles of dharma is concerned, Yudhishthira should not have got into this situation by agreeing to gamble. If the king himself starts doing it, then what do you expect from the subjects? They cannot do anything about it. After all, they will also take it. Yadyad ajarati shrestha Tattvatad idare jana. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever the great personalities do, the common men will follow. So particularly those days when royalty was accepted by the people, majority of the people, that when Yudhishthira Maharaj agreed or signed up to engage in gambling, it was a great shock to Bhishma. It was a great shock to Bhishma. And when he lost in the game, in the gambling game, when he lost it, if Bhishma had spoken in support of Yudhishthira at that time, the Kauravas were, you have to remember, were enjoying this whole scene at that time, that the Pandavas were being cornered from everywhere. They had lost the gambling game. And at the same time, there was sympathy from the public in favor of the Pandavas. Pandavas had the sympathy from the public. Bhishma thought at that moment, in very few words, he finished the conversation there. If you look Mahabharata, you will find there. In a very few words, he finished the conversation. He said that let Yudhishthira Maharaj speak now about it. When they asked Draupadi and others, when they started pointing at Bhishma to give the decision about it, he turned to Yudhishthira and told Yudhishthira to speak about it, what was his purpose, whether he has done the wrong thing or to speak on behalf of the Pandavas. But unfortunately, Yudhishthira Maharaj did not utilize that opportunity properly. Yudhishthira Maharaj did not utilize that opportunity properly. Yudhishthira Maharaj had made quite a lot of mistakes like this. He was a very pious administrator, great devotee, but at the same time, mistakes have happened in his administration also. And the result of all that, Bhishma decided that now let the time take its toll. Let Krishna decide whatever that has to happen. If Bhishma had spoken something there, there was also another side to it. Had Bhishma spoken or done something to stop Draupadi from being destroyed by Dushasana and the others, probably what could have happened in Bhishma's view was Bhima would have taken up the control of the situation and probably quite a few of the Kauravas would have finished then and there on the very spot. And at that time, Mahabharata war would not have happened. It was Krishna's desire that there should be this great battle of Mahabharata war. And in that, everyone should be finished then and there. So because of that, and it was also Krishna's plan that in that great battle, many, many people will get the opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. This was the beauty of Mahabharata war. We'll come to that later when Bhishma glorifies Krishna, he talks about it very much in detail. So this is the situation that at certain times, great leaders, they make decisions. They have made the decision not fully understanding, first of all, the lack of understanding of what is dharma. We have mentioned this before. To know what is dharma. And no one else knew what is dharma more than Bhishma, isn't it? After all, Bhishma was one of the greatest authorities on dharma. As I mentioned in Mahabharata, 500 chapters in Mahabharata refers to dharma alone, spoken by Bhishma Pidamaha to Maharaj Yudhishthira. And here, even that Bhishma started wavering when it came to making the decision, what is dharma. So at that point, he also gave it up. So because of all this Mahabharata war did happen, which was of course being engineered by Krishna from behind. And that was all one can say about it, that Krishna was engineering that this should happen, Mahabharata war should happen. So accordingly, Bhishma did not speak up anything. And the result was that all these discussions happened later. But Krishna expected, some authorities are saying that Krishna expected that Bhishma should have spoken up something at that point, which he didn't do. So whatever it is, this was the history. So later on, what we find is that this personality Bhishma, to him, the Yudhishthira Maharaj has come with all the other great sages who were present there, Vyasa, Dhaumya and so many others. So when they all arrived, Krishna told Yudhishthira Maharaj to ask Bhishma what is dharmam. Whether what he has committed by fighting this war, whether he has done the right thing or will he have to accept these reactions of sinful activities, of killing so many people. So in answer to that, what was dharmam and what was not dharmam or adharmam, when Yudhishthira Maharaj asked that question, the answer Bhishma gave was, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's how he answered that. You will see that when you go through the different verses in the Bhagavatam, you will find there that the way Krishna has spoken, that way way Bhishma has spoken was, he understood what the problem was. Actually, this is a very, very important point in the Bhagavatam as well as in the Mahabharatam, where things went wrong. Where things went wrong. If you understand this, very carefully, if you listen to this, what has actually happened was, what was the reason why Yudhishthira Maharaj fell into this controversy, into this difficulty? Why did he fall into this difficulty, first of all? There, it takes us back into, Bhagavatam takes us back into this issue a little bit more in detail. Srimad Bhagavatam says there, that when this question came up, when this question came up about Yudhishthira's responsibility of to fight or not to fight, Yudhishthira Maharaj has discussed with Krishna before the war, and more or less Krishna has taken the decision, isn't it? He went on behalf of the Pandavas to negotiate with the Kauravas, and after the negotiations broke down, Krishna came back and told Yudhishthira Maharaj there is no alternative except to go for the war. Go for the war. So that's how the war began. And from first day, right up to the 10th day, when Bhishma fell in the battlefield, 10 days, Bhishma was directly seeing Krishna and fighting the war. The whole 10 days he fought with Arjuna, in front of Krishna. And all 10 days he was seeing Krishna in front of him, because Krishna was driving the chariot of Arjuna, isn't it? So this was going on. And Bhishma had many times wanted that Krishna should kill him. In fact, he wanted that somehow or the other Krishna should come to, should be there at the time of leaving his body in front of him. This desire was very much there in his mind. So, Suda Uvajam Idivida Prajadrohal Sarvadharma Vivilsaya Tado Vinashanam Bragad Yatra Deva Brado Badal. They all came to Kurukshetra to witness the departure of Bhishma. Tadade Bhadra Sarve Sadashvai Swarnabhushidai Anvagachanda Dhairvipra Vyasa Dhaumyade Yastatha. Vyasa Maharshi, Dhaumya Maharshi, they were two great personalities who have arrived on that scene along with the others. And then, who else? They have given a list of the names of the sages who are present there. It's worthwhile to know these personalities. Parvado Narado Dhaumyo Bhagavan Bhadarayana Bhagadashyo Bharadvaja Sashishyo Renuga Sudha Vasishta Indra Pramadastrido Grilsamado Sida Kukshivan Gavadamotrischa Kaushiko Sudarshana Anyejaminayo Brahman Brahmaradadayo Mela Shishirubeda Ajagmo Kashiva Angirasadayam Tan Samedan Mahabhagan Upalakshava Sutsama Pujayama Sadarmanyo Deshagala Vibhagavit. So, who have all come there? Parvada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi, Dhaumyam, Vedavyasa Maharshi, then Brihadashva, Bharadvaja, Parashuram came with all his disciples, Vasishta, Indra Pramatha, Trida, Gril Samada, Asita, Kutshivan, Gautama, Atri, Kaushika, Sudarshana, Shuka, and all the other personalities including Kashyapa, Brihaspati, along with their disciples. They have all come to the scene. How did they all know? Because from inside, Krishna prompted them to be there. It was such an important occasion for Krishna also. That is why he wanted them to come. Tan samedan mahabhagan upalakshava sutama pujayamasa dharmajnyo deshagala vibhagavid. Then, according to the time and circumstances, Bhishma paid respects to all these great personalities. They were all great sages who were present there. He paid his respects lying in the bed of arrows. He welcomed them all together. Krishnam jatal prabhavatyam asinam jagadishwaram kridistam bhujayamasa mayayobhata vigraham. Bhishma knew the personality who Krishna was. Nobody else knew about it. And Bhishma's understanding of Krishna was very much there in that meeting when Krishna came there. Krishna could have resolved this problem. Krishna could have resolved the problem of Yudhishthira Maharaj even before. Deliberately Krishna didn't do it because he wanted that everyone should come to be present in front of Bhishma at the time of leaving the body. And that way Krishna wanted the world to know the great personality who Bhishma was. This was the intention behind it. In order to bring in order to bring, in order to glorify Yudhishthira Maharaj, in order to glorify Bhishma, Krishna decided that everybody should be present. All these great personalities, you can imagine the list of those personalities, who they are. They are the authorities on the Vedic tradition. All the Vedic mantras, where hymns were revealed through them. These are these personalities. At different times they upheld the principles of religion. And therefore, these great authorities arrived there in front of Bhishma, and with Bhishma's, in their presence, Bhishma was glorified by Krishna in this way. Krishna has brought them all together in front of Bhishma, so that Bhishma wanted to know that Krishna never forgets his devotee at the time of leaving the body, especially a devotee like Bhishma. So in order to bring that point very strongly, Krishna has brought them all together, and Bhishma knew this. Bhishma understood it. Otherwise, Bhishma was not expecting any of these sages there. Bhishma was waiting for Uttarayanam to come to leave the body. When Bhishma saw Krishna coming with the Pandavas, he knew that there was something behind it. He was aware of that. But when all the sages also arrived, Bhishma understood that it was nobody else except Krishna behind it. This was clear to Bhishma at that point. Just see, normally at the time of death, most of us, we want Krishna to come and we will like to see Krishna at the time of leaving the body. Krishna knows a devotee's heart all the time. Krishna knows about it. But a devotee knowing Krishna's heart is very rare, isn't it? How does a devotee know what is going through Krishna's heart? But this is one example in the Srimad Bhagavatam where a devotee knows at the time of leaving the body what is going through Krishna's mind. Just see how what a personality Bhishma was. And that is why if you go through the prayers of Bhishma, Bhishma Stuti in the Srimad Bhagavatam will bring up this very strongly, that three important events in Bhishma's life was spoken there. In Bhishma's life, Bhishma's time in this world, as I mentioned before, Bhishma was a personality who had the great strength of dharmam or principles in his life. And that dharmam was so powerful that it has protected him all along, and Krishna has appreciated that and did hold Bhishma in a very high esteem. Although a devotee, Krishna has a tremendous respect for Bhishma for upholding dharmam throughout his life. Although in certain incident like this he has fallen down, but still Krishna's respect for Bhishma was known to everybody. And Bhishma knew what was going through Krishna's mind. Otherwise, how could this happen? How could all these great sages, even just like when Parikshit Maharaj was leaving the body, as you saw, when Parikshit Maharaj was leaving the body, many, many great personalities arrived there. How did they come? Because it was arranged by Krishna. Krishna's arrangement, this has happened. Through Parikshit Maharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam was to be spoken, and that was to stay in this world forever. So with this in mind, Krishna has planned that. Exactly in the same way in Bhishma's case also, you can see that Krishna has organized in such a way. All these sages are traveling not only in this earthly planet, most of them live in the higher planets like Janalokam, Maharlokam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam, and so many other places where they are residents. Some of them great sages are in Tapolokam also. And they all were aware of Bhishma's departure from this world, and accordingly they all arrived there. So that is why that is mentioned here. That and when they arrived there, Bhishma's conversation begins with Yudhishthira Maharaj. What does he say? Aho aho kashtam aho anyayam yadyuyam dharmanandana jividam narhadam klishtam vipra dharma achyuda ashraya. That Bhishma is saying to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that Yudhishthira was inquiring about different dharmas, and that is listed there later. Raja dharmam, Sri dharmam, Purusha dharmam, so many dharmam. As I mentioned before, to know one's dharma in every situation is the most difficult thing. That is what is called a crisis, isn't it? Crisis in life. Just to know what to do in life. Sometimes we are all in the crisis all the time. But we act according to our impulses, whatever it is. Or sometimes we weigh the pros and cons and decide what is good for, beneficial for me materially. That's what our dharma is. But strictly speaking, dharma is not based on that. Dharma is based on what is based on religious principles, what is dharmam. That, to know that and to act based on that is very difficult. And Bhishma and Yudhishthira Maharaj had come here, aho kashtam, aho anyayam, yadyuyam, dharmanandanam. Bhishma is saying to Yudhishthira Maharaj, I can understand how sad it is, that how unfair it is that you were put into this situation. Jividam narhada kleshtam vipra dharma achuda ashrayaha. That you are not supposed to be suffering like this. Bhishma says to Yudhishthira Maharaj. You can see, before the war, Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas had to suffer in the hands of Kauravas, isn't it? After the war also there seems to be no peace of mind in Yudhishthira Maharaj's mind. So he says to him, Jividam narhada kleshtam. Life is not meant to be so distressful for you. You shouldn't be suffering like this, because vipra, dharma, achyuda, ashrayaha. You have always stuck with religious principles. You have protected the brahmanas. Brahmanas' interests were always, brahmanas were always looked after by you. And vipra, dharma, you are always sticking to dharmam. I have never seen you acting in a adharmic way against religious principles. And apart from that, achyuda, ashrayaha. You have always taken shelter of Krishna. And still, why did this happen? This was Bhishma's question. Bhishma's question, and then Bhishma is answering also that later. So you can see that in this great battle of Kurukshetra also, even after the war, there was a lot of questions to be answered. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, behind this was Krishna's hands. You can see that later. Everything, nothing, that conviction has not even come to Yudhishthira Maharaj. That conviction has not even come to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that it was Krishna behind everything in this world. What happens? Not only in this world, in the whole creation. And this conviction, because it wasn't happening to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhishma had to answer in such a way that it opened up his eyes eventually. It opened up his eyes. It took a while for him to get that conviction that Krishna was behind it. So, sarvam kalakritam manye. Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhishma says like that, Bhavadam jayada priyam sabalo yadvashe loge vayo rivakhanavalim. Eventually, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhishma says to Yudhishthira that this has happened because the time was controlling us all. Ultimately, time is controlling us. Sarvam kalakritam manye vayo rivakhanavali. Just like when the strong winds comes in the sky, how it carries the clouds away. Exactly, that is our situation in this world. Very often, very, very often, people find it very difficult to accept that Krishna is controlling us. It's very hard for people to accept. They will say that, why then Krishna is doing like this with us? Why is he doing this? In the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find in few instances, this point is stressed very strongly. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade. Bhagavad Gita says like this, that material nature forces the person to act one way or the other. According to the false ego, he thinks himself to be the doer, it says. He thinks himself to be the doer, and kartaham iti manyade, I am the doer, he thinks after that. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade. Vedavyas calls them as vimudhalma. That means a foolish person. He calls them vimudhalma, very, very foolish, those who are thinking like this. We'll come to that. It is easy to understand also. It is not so difficult. Why? Because it says here, according to the three modes of nature, prakriti, material nature is controlling us. And what is material nature? Material nature is nothing but Maya. Who controls Maya? Krishna. Isn't it? So if you go logically also, it comes from Krishna. But apart from that, even if you look at it in a different way, there is so many things to know behind the what goes on in this creation. In the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, these are the things that is discussed to bring us out of our foolish understanding. Those who are thinking that I am doing everything, and I'm separate from Krishna, I can do independently anything I want, then he should be willing to accept the results also in the same way. But this is the law of karma. The science of karma is so complicated. that most of the people do not understand what karma means. What does karma mean? Sometimes our misunderstanding is like this. We think when something goes wrong in life, then they say, oh, that's my karma, they say. But that is not only karma. Karma means a lot more than that. Because we do not understand the loss of karma. Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita. What does he say? Karmanayeva adhikaryaste ma bhaleshu kadachana ma karma bhalahe durbhur ma dosangustva karmani. This is the four sutrams or four techniques by which one can understand karma. It will take a lot of time to discuss that words in detail. So we'll come to that later. But today what we have to realize now is that Yudhishthira Maharaj missed on this point. He thought he is the doer. That was the problem with Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira was thinking that, oh, this war, I have done it. And it's me who won the war. And I was responsible for all these deaths of so many people. This was going through the mind of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And it is then that Bhishma spoke to him this point very clearly. That, my dear Yudhishthira, Vayo Rivakanavali, just like the clouds in the sky, all of us are moving under the force of Krishna, who is controlling everything from behind. Krishna wanted these things to... If Krishna has told Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, I am doing all these things, Yudhishthira won't trust him. Rather, Krishna wanted Bhishma to say this to Yudhishthira, so that he understands that who is behind it. And while speaking this, Bhishma looked at Krishna's face. Mandam jahasa vaigundha. Krishna smiled at that time. Supreme Personality of Godhead standing there, listening to this Bhishma's answer to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And when Bhishma spoke this to Yudhishthira Maharaj, his inside eye opened. We have two eyes, isn't it? One eye is outside, which is seeing everything all the time, which we consider as the truth, absolute truth, what we think outside is going on. There is another eye inside, which as soon as you leave the vacant state, you go into the dream or deep sleep. We are still seeing things, although these eyes are closed, isn't it? Our gross eyes, these eyes are closed at that time, but we are seeing things. Where is that eye coming from? That eye is inside. And that eye has to open to see these things. Unfortunately, it is like that. It is that eye that tells us what is actually happening. What is the reality? The external eye is a sense to see the sense objects in this world. One of the five senses of knowledge. So here, what happened was that when Bhishma spoke about it to Yudhishthira, his eye opened up inside. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find this kind of situation happening to many people. All our problems is also the same. This eye is not opening inside. This external eye is telling us so many things. And we are taking that as the truth and carrying on with this life. And therefore, difficulty in accepting also many of the instructions in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. In order that we wake up from our state of consciousness, what it is today, to accept Maya as the reality and to reject Krishna, which is the absolute truth, which is our unfortunate state of mind. So, in order to free us from that condition, in Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi brings a few incidents like this, to open up our eye, just to open up the eye, because you never know when that eye will open. One day it can open like this. And when it opens, then you will realize it. All these years you are seeing everything false things. What you are seeing were all false things. Today, whatever we are seeing, we think that this is the absolute truth, what we are seeing. And we have taken it so seriously that we are even willing to kill others to make sure that this truth survives here. Although we may not be here for enough to see what we are trying to establish. But that is the way the material world works. But spiritual world, when one comes to spiritual platform and one sees the truth, what is behind it, or when the waking up the knowledge. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, there is a story of a king called Anga. I know you have read that, we have discussed that also. It was, I think, in the sixth canto, that story of Anga. King Anga comes. Yes, and King Anga comes. So this Anga, he had no children. And what was happening was, Anga was approaching everyone, anyone and everyone, and eventually, a son was born for him. Eventually, he got a son. But, with that one son, all his desire for having children had gone, once for all. His name was Vena. And this king Vena, from the very early age in life, he started displaying his nature. Small children, when he sees them, he'll take them to water and drown them and kill them. And if you ask Vena, why are you doing this? He says, I just like it. That was his answer to that. And nobody could do anything because he was the prince who was going to be the future king, isn't it? That was his position. So many people tried to advise him. The sages advised Vena not to act like this. And Vena would not take note of anybody, even the great personalities who came up to him. Anga, the father, who got this son after a tremendous amount of austerities and penances and placing the great sages, he tried to advise him a lot. That will not work either. That didn't even work. So eventually everybody started complaining to Anga that they have to do something about him, seeing his nature. One night, Anga decided that this is it. I don't need to be here anymore. From the palace in the middle of the night, he walked out and went to the forest. Why? The eye opened inside. He came to his senses, in other words. He came to understand that this life, it is better to have a bad chance. While going back, there is a statement in the Bhagavad-gita you can see there, he says, kadavartrasukham manyem, that it is better to have a bad son like that, because then I will not get stuck in this family life, or I'll get stuck in this material world. This has given me freedom to walk out from here. He opened his eyes inside, walked out, went to the forest, performed penances and austerities, and went back to the spiritual world. That is the story of Anga. This one story is just to tell us that how in one instance one's life can change. In one moment, the whole life changed for Anga. Another personality in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Chitrakedu and his wife, Kritadyuti. If you remember that story, they had no children. And Kritadyuti, those days, particularly in the Kshatriya families, they needed the continuity, because their concern was not only about their own family, about the whole kingdom, who will manage the kingdom. Once there is no issues in the family, then that becomes a crisis for them. So because of that, they always wanted to have sons in the family who will take up the administration afterwards. So here, in Chitrakedu's case also, the same thing happened. Kritadyuti, after Sri Narada Maharshi and Angiras came up to see Chitrakedu, and Chitrakedu expressed his distress to them, and they tried to advise him a lot, but he could not accept their advice. Eventually, realizing that he's not going to change his mind, they blessed him with a son and told him, you will have a son by whom you will be extremely happy, but with the very son you will become extremely unhappy also. Like this. So at that time also, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there that Chitrakedu had got this son. Eventually Kritadyuti became pregnant, had a son, and the son was killed by the other wives of Chitrakedu. One day Chitrakedu was in tremendous bliss when the son was born, but after some time, when the son died and Sri Narada Maharshi and Angiras came back again, they just wanted that the king to wake up, not to get caught up in this world, and prepare himself to go back home, back to Krishna. So therefore, Angiras Maharshi and Sri Narada Muni came there again and spoke to Chitrakedu, and then Narada Maharshi gave the advice to the mantram, the upadesh to Chitrakedu to go back to the spiritual world. And then he got himself 7 days, he practiced and elevated himself. That we know. But what I wanted to say was that exactly like Anga's case, Chitrakedu also opened his eye inside. He needed a kick like this from outside. Like all of us, we need one like that. Only then we will wake up. Otherwise it will go on like this. So it so happened in the Bhagavatam, there is one other interesting incident. In the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna quotes that incident very nicely to Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava, a great businessman, lot of money he made. The only happiness in life was making money, nothing else. He made so much money, and one day everything was stolen from him. Everything was taken away. Because you never know how things can change in this world. Thieves have stolen, house got fire, and And the king who was ruling at that time got displeased with him and extracted a lot of taxes and other wealth from him. And in this way, he was completely broke and eventually walks out from home. And when he walks away, Dvija Uvaja says in the Bhagavatam like that. What does he say? He says there that Brahmana says, this, he was a Brahmana as well, that I have realized that all these things is not what I should be after. This opportunity had come for me to get out of this world. And when he left his home, after he was put into this bankrupt condition, when he was walking around, everyone in the public had become abusive towards him. They abused him so much. And at one time he was so wealthy, but when he was wealthy, he wouldn't give anything to anybody, not even to his wife and children. That much happiness he had in life, in acquiring wealth. So he was so much absorbed in this happiness of acquiring wealth. When he lost everything one day, he became a pauper and he had to walk out of the house. And when he went out, did the public receive him? No. They never gave him anything. Why? Because he has never given anything to anybody, anytime. So dharmam has actually taken its own toll. And this brahmana comes to the realization at that point, and that is what is known in the Bhagavatam as Bhikshugita. So through that Bhikshugita you can see how the brahmana woke up from his deep ignorance, state of life. So Chitraketu story, this brahmana story, as well as the king Anga, all these stories are the stories in the Bhagavatam, incidents in the Bhagavatam opening up their inside eye. So similarly, here also, Yudhishthira Maharaj has been thinking all along that he was responsible for the war and it is him who has conducted the war and it is him who has won the war. Both the brothers, Arjuna was also thinking exactly the same thing, that me who won the Mahabharata war. And that illusion kept coming back to him again and again. And Bhishma Pitamaha wanted to clear that. As soon as that doubt was cleared, Yudhishthira understood that what was I lamenting about? He came to his senses. So that is what we find in the next few verses, what was spoken here. Sarvam kalagradam manye bhavatam jayada priyam sapalo yadvashe loge vayori vakhanavali. And in this process, Yudhishthira Maharaj understood what has happened. Esho vai bhagavan sashal adyo narayana puman mohayan maya logam gudascharati vrishnishu. If you knew who is with you, Bhishma says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, if you knew who is with you and who is running the show, you would not have acted the way you have acted towards him. Referring to Krishna. He's talking to them. What has they done? What do the Pandavas do? Pandavas done the following. Yam manyase matuleyam priyam mitram sukurtamam akaryo sajivam dudam sauhrada dhatasaradhim. This is what Pandavas have done with Krishna. What did they do? They have asked him that without knowing Krishna's position, who it is, they have asked him to drive the chariot, didn't they? Arjuna asked Krishna to drive the chariot. Be my driver, he says to Krishna. Krishna has done that also, driving the chariot. Driving the chariot for Arjuna. Then what else? Akaryo sajivam dudam. Krishna has also went as a representative to negotiate. They have sent him as the representative to negotiate with the Kauravas, isn't it? Agrada sajivam sajivam dudam saukrada atada saradim. And Arjuna and other Pandavas also have treated Krishna just like a friend in many instances. Krishna, Arjuna speaks about that in few instances. In Bhagavad Gita also he speaks about that. In Bhagavatam also, when Krishna left the planet, and when Arjuna came back to see Yudhishthira Maharaj, he talks to Yudhishthira about it, that how I have treated Krishna in my life before. That consciousness came up to him and he started remembering that what all he has, how he has acted towards Krishna. So here, Bhishma is saying to the Yudhishthira Maharaj that you have acted like this way, yam manyase madhuleyam, thinking that he is your uncle's son. That was your relationship with Krishna, wasn't it? That's why you were treating him. Kundidevi's brother, and Vasudev's son he is. So he is our uncle's son. That's how they took it. And they didn't realize that this was the Supreme Personality of Godhead who was with him. And Bhishma is now telling them that who was with you all this time. That's what he was telling them. Who was with you all this time? Yam manya sema duleyam priyam mitram suhurtamam agaro sajivam dudam sauhrdadhadasaradhim. So you have acted as a charioteer. He was your representative to negotiate the deals. He was your friend. And anything and everything in Rajasuyam, even what all did he do? He was even washing the feet of all the sages, all the guests who have come to perform the, who have come to attend the Rajasuya sacrifice, isn't it? We have seen that when we discussed Rajasuyam in the Bhagavatam, we have talked about that. So, Krishna has done everything, whatever he was asked to do. Why did he do that? That is what he says like that. Sarvalpana samadrisho advayasya naham krade. Sarvalpana samadrisho. Krishna has no distinction between higher and lower, between people. Why? Advayasya anaham kridehe. Anaham kridehe. There is no ego in him. He is not dehabhimani. Krishna is not on the bodily concept of life like us. We, when we are told something to do, first we will make up our mind whether we should do it or not. Somebody says to, even if somebody more qualified tells someone to do something, he just thinks, oh, what authority has he got to tell me this? Who is he to order? This is how our mind goes, isn't it? And then we want all clarifications before we do something. Why? Because of the bodily concept of life, identification with the body. I am so and so, and my position is no lower than him. He has no right to instruct me. Who is he to tell me? All these kind of things. Advayasya anaham kridehe. Krishna is not anaham kride. He has no such discrimination. He will do anything. He used to carry gopis slippers also on his head. Krishna used to carry that. It is in the Bhagavatam mentioned like that. Nanda Maharaj slippers he used to carry. And so many things Krishna has done in order to please the devotees. Krishna has performed so many activities. But here, Pandavas were devotees of Krishna. At the same time, not knowing Krishna's position as the absolute truth, Yudhishthira Maharaj has been told by Bhishma, please remember why he did all this for you. Not because of anything. Advayasya anaham kridehe. He has no false ego in him, no bodily concept of life. And saying this, Yudhishthira Maharaj was Bhishma has spoken to Yudhishthira finally that he wanted that Krishna should come in front of him. His desire was getting. When Krishna arrived, Bhishma knew that why he had come. He knew that he had not come for any other reason except to give him that mercy at the time of death. This was the only desire he had. Bhishma had only this one desire, that he wanted to see Krishna at the time of leaving the body. So Krishna had come. As soon as Krishna arrived, Bhishma was in bliss. Bhishma knew that his prayers have been answered. Or in other words, his desire has been fulfilled at the last minute by Krishna. Bhishma's personality is such, in the Bhagavatam you will notice, not only in Bhagavatam, in Mahabharata also, that his determination we discussed before, that he agreed not to take up the kingdom. When the kingdom was offered, he refused. He did not accept it. Like many people in this world, when happiness comes to them, they welcome it with all desire. They think that how fortunate they are, how that with so much opulence have come to them in different ways, position, power, and position, power, wealth, so many things, attractions in this world, isn't it? That's material attractions. Often you find when someone becomes a president or prime minister or big leadership, they only for a few years, 4 or 5 years, not for very long, the celebrations goes on for weeks to celebrate what he has got in life. So he happily accepts that, and there are so many others along with him to celebrate the success or whatever. Similarly, wealth and fame and even what to talk about all that. Even in football match, if you score one goal, you see both hands going like this, isn't it? So where does this all come from? Where does this all come from? When you see all that, advayasya anaham kridehe, remember about Krishna. Krishna has no such experiences in life that he had to do like this to anyone. He didn't have to. Why? Because he was not in the bodily concept of life. So here is the problem starts for us. Our Krishna had, through this Maharaj Yudhishthira and Bhishma, this conversation, Krishna had a great message to all of us, to tell us that all the time we have this foolish understanding that we are the doers.
Krishna wants that ignorant understanding has to go from our mind. There is so many examples in the Bhagavadam to illustrate this point. Ahangara vimodhalpa kartasmi abhimanyade. In the third canto of Bhagavadam, you can see Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi, Ahangara vimodhalpa kartasmi abhimanyade. Because of the ahangaram or the false ego which has developed due to the bodily identification, it is at that point that all this problem starts. Kartasmi, I am the doer, abhimanyade. He starts thinking like that. Now, this one point is a very deep thing in the principle of karma. If you understand the principle of karma, how karma works, and the laws of karma related to why Krishna spent chapter after chapter in the Bhagavad Gita to discuss about karma. This is the reason, because it is not, Krishna says, Gahana karmano gadi. It is very, very difficult to understand the principle of karma, because if Yudhishthira Maharaj can fall into this trap, what is our position in this? We are equally victimized by that. That is why we are always thinking that we are the doers. We need the credit. We need to get the credit for what we have done. This, that and the other. Everything comes from that. But looking at it this way, Krishna's position is like this. For example, I have mentioned this before also, that if I have to speak, if my tongue has to pronounce the words or speak something, where does the ability coming from for the tongue to speak? The senses, the mind, the intelligence, they all become active as soon as the soul is present in the body. As soon as Krishna is present, because when we say the soul, it is Krishna's presence, isn't it? It is Krishna's part and parcel, the soul. So long as Krishna is present in the body, so long as Krishna is present in the body and He allows me to speak, He allows my senses to function, He allows my mind to work, He allows my intelligence to think, only then I am in a position to speak. Is it not? Is that very difficult to understand? That on my own accord, as soon as Krishna withdraws that electricity or the energy from me, the source is the soul. It is from the soul this energy is coming to the whole body. In everything, the digestion is happening inside. The kidneys are functioning. The food is digesting. The breathing is going on inside the body. The blood is circulating. The nerves are functioning. Look at the millions of things what's going on inside the human body. Because all these things are working, I am able to speak. Is it not? I am able to speak because all these things are working together. Who keeps them going? Why on foolishly I have to say that I am the one who is doing it? Is that not foolish enough statement? That I am the one who is doing it. Rather, if I am the one who is doing it, I should be the one who should be running the heart, who should be pumping the blood, who should be getting the kidneys working, who should be making the nerves to function, who should be making the intelligence to think, everything. I am not doing any of them. It's working on its own, 24 hours a day till the end of the body finishes. It works. If we were given that responsibility, most of the people will be dead. That is also a very clear thing. Not many bodies you will see sitting and smiling at us. It cannot, because you can't, because that is the way we manage things. But Krishna's management is such that it works. It's something which you don't need any standby. It works. The body works because He is present inside. Now, exactly like the way I am speaking about it, because unless one accepts this convincingly, that it is because of Krishna's presence in the body that I am able to function in this world. Similarly, you are able to listen also in the same way. Whatever you are listening now, when I am talking about Krishna, Bhagavadam or Bhagavad Gita, how you are able to listen? You are able to listen, you are thinking, I am listening, I make the decision what is right or what is wrong. You are thinking, maybe you are thinking like that. But let us be very clear that this ability to listen, who has given that? Krishna has given that. Is there any more clarification needed? Ahangara vimudhalma kartasmi abhimanyade. Oh, I am the doer. It's me who has done everything. And this is what still we argue against it. We are not convinced that Krishna is doing it. Out of the whole activity, 99% Krishna is doing. It is this 1% I am doing, probably if I am doing anything. And that 1% wants to take the whole 100% credit. This is our situation. Is it not? Is that true or not? Ahangara vimudhalpa kartasmi abhimanyade. As soon as it is applied to everything in this world, even whether it is even David Beckham scores the goal, he is thinking that I have done, and immediately both hands, everyone jumps on top of the other, thinking that what a great job you have done. Krishna is laughing behind, saying that Krishna has done it. Actually Krishna is done it. It's only thing we have become actually the tools in Krishna's hands to such a thing to happen. That's all. When you recognize that Krishna is actually doing these things, that is the perfect understanding of karma. Then only it becomes karma, proper karma yogam it becomes. As long as one does not recognize this fact, he is continuously engaged in the principles of karma, which is the bondage. Result is bondage. So that is why it is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. These things are brought out very clearly. Why? Because our dull head won't allow us to accept anything easily. We will argue backwards and forwards. He is telling some rubbish from some old books some old men have written. Some men with a beard sitting in the forest. They had nothing else to do. They wrote something. And we in the 20th century, so advanced in science and technology. Who is there telling us, oh, my body is functioning very well. I can go to the GP and he will get it fixed if I have a problem. All these kind of illusions in our head. Krishna is saying there, please don't take all these things for granted, he says. Don't take it for granted. As long as the part and parcel of Krishna, the spirit soul is present within the body, all these functions, things goes on. And when that, it's just like this. There is, in the Shastram, there is innumerable examples. Bhagavad Gita in Srimad Bhagavatam is not some stories written for the pleasure, for anyone. No, it is all based on logic and reasoning. Provided the way of logic is a little different. It's not based on the gross senses. It's not based on the gross senses of knowledge and senses of action. It is based on purely, based on the Shastric way, what Krishna's way of presentation of the truth, coming from the absolute Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, that is what has happened here, that Krishna was Bhakta Vesha Manoyasmin Vajayam Namagirtayan Tejan Kalevaram Yogi Uchadeka Makarmabhi. Bhishma is saying to Yudhishthira Maharaj that actually, Bhishma was saying to Krishna, in two verses, he says to Krishna, he has spoken by now all the dharmam, everything to, he wanted to speak the dharmam, but he turned towards Krishna in the meanwhile, because seeing Krishna's presence in front of him, he was so pleased, Bhishma was so pleased, he had a request to Krishna. What was that? Bhakta avesha manoyasmin vajayanna magirtayan tejam kalevaram yobi muchyadekama karmabhi. That when a yogi wants to give up his body, at the time of leaving this body, because knowing a devotee is mine, and in order that the devotee gets an opportunity to speak about Krishna, Krishna arrives in front of the devotee, and Bhishma was acknowledging the presence of Krishna. Virtually, he was acknowledging to him this thing. Sadeva devo bhagavan pradikshadam kaleveram yavadidam hinomyaham prasannahasarunalojanavallasam mukhambujodhyanapada chadurbhujaha. That Bhishmadeva says to Krishna, sadeva devo bhagavan pradikshadam, that I have been so fortunate that you have devadeva. Devadeva means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Addressing Krishna, sadeva devo bhagavan pradikshadam, that you have come to me, in front of me at this time, kalevaram yavadidam hinomyaham, that Supreme Personality whose body is prasanna hasa aruna lojana ullasam mukhambujam dhyanapada chadurbhujaham, that Krishna's beautiful smile of Krishna. Why did he say that? This 10 days in the battlefield in Kurukshetram, what was Bhishma saying? Bhishma was considering how fortunate he was to be there. If Mahabharata war didn't happen, Bhishma would not have got that opportunity to see Krishna 10 days right in front of him before leaving the body. Bhishma says, that's enough for me. I don't need anything more than this. Prasannaha saruna lojano illasal mukhambujam dhyanapatha chadurbhujaham. That mukhambujam, Krishna's sweet and beautiful lotus face of Krishna, was present in front of Bhishma so many days, and that has been in his mind very deeply attached to that. Dhyana Bada Chadurbhujaha. And Krishna, Bhishma was saying to Krishna, please, I have been meditating on that four-handed form, Chadurbhuja form, for many, many years. Let that come to me again at this time of leaving the body. Bhishma says that to Krishna, which Krishna has given him that vision to Bhishma at that time. And after this was spoken, what you will find here is that the famous Bhishma's prayers. Before that, Bhishma also spoke about the different dharmam. What all dharmam? Dana dharman, Raja dharman, Moksha dharman, Vibhagasha, Stri dharman, Bhagavad dharman, Samasa vyasa yogida, Yogada, Dharma artha kama mokshamscha sahobaya anyathamuni, Nana khyane dikhaseshu, Varnayamasa tattuvil. Bhishma, who knew what is tattvam, what is the principle in all these different dharma, he spoke about it. Bhishma had actually a benediction from his father. What was that? He has given a benediction that he can give up his body when he wants. Isn't it? That is known as Swachanda Mrityu. Now, one question comes up here. Why Bhishma waited for the period of Uttarayanam to come? The answer to that is given like this. That there are two things to take into account here. Bhishma had one benediction from his father, that he was a Swachanda Mrityu. He can give up his body when he wants it. He's not like us. We are forced out, isn't it? When we have no freedom to make the decision when to leave the body. our decision, we don't know what will happen actually. Anytime, anywhere, in any condition. That's our freedom, what we have. Bhishma had the freedom to give up the body when he wants. Swachanda Mrityu. Secondly, there was also another thing. Bhishma did not want to break the tradition of living at Uttarayanam. Two things he has taken into account while making this, which is known as Acharya Parivalanam. That is how it is spoken. Acharya means that is the tradition, what was followed. That Uttarayanam time, yogis leave the body. So yogis, he wanted to keep that tradition going. He also wanted to show that this special benediction for Swachanda Mrityu, to give up the body when he wants, these both were available to him. So because of that, he decided to wait till Uttarayanam comes. That is what it is. It does not apply to ordinary people like us. Because as I mentioned before, this is in the case of those personalities who are in the Devayanam process, on their way home, back home to the freedom from this Pidrayana process. They are going up. So in those cases, this situation, they have the ability to do so. That's why they have done that. What ability do we have to do any of these things? So this does not apply to ordinary people. It is only in the case of those who are in the Devayanam process. This is what I was trying to bring it out. And we discussed this Devayanam, Pitriyanam. That in Devayanam, they have the freedom even to decide when to leave the body. That's why it was mentioned there. Agnir Jyotiraha Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatha Prayada Gacchandi. That they can leave at that time and they'll go, because all these predominating deities of these different entities, they encourage him to leave the body and they will all help him in their passage back home to the higher planets. So that is what has happened. And after that, what happens then is Krishna, then after the dharma was spoken, all the dharmas were discussed there with Yudhishthira Maharaj, and when Yudhishthira Maharaj was satisfied, when he came to his senses, when he realized that it was not me who was responsible, actually Krishna was carrying out the whole war from behind. And that it took a while for him to get out of it, but when he realized it, then he did not say anything after that. And Bhishma could recognize that Yudhishthira Maharaj was satisfied. Yudhishthira Maharaj was satisfied, all the Pandavas were satisfied. All the sages who were present there, they also felt happy hearing from Bhishma all these things. And then, after that, Bhishma turns to Krishna and says to Krishna, now let me speak to you a few words. He says to Krishna. He says to Krishna, let me speak to you a few words now. He says, and this is the famous Bhishma Stuti in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhishma Stuti in the Srimad Bhagavatam is so famous. That, why it's so famous? It is famous because Bhishma recognized who is Krishna. That is why he is famous. That's why it's so famous. Not many people recognized who Krishna is when he was here. When he was here, many people did not recognize who is Krishna. obviously now many people find it very difficult to accept Krishna, who Krishna is. And then they put forward, they're trying to find all the faults in Krishna from their point of view. And they start listing them and they start proving that Krishna is not anyone superior. Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that way they present their case. But whatever it is in the Bhagavatam, when Bhishma wanted to glorify Krishna, this is how he started. Idim Shri Bhishma Vajam Idimadirvagalpida Vidrishna Bhagavati Satyata Bhunga Vevi Bhumni Sosukham Ubhagade Kojidhyuhartam Pragati Mubheyushi Yalbhava Pravaha Idimadirvagalpida Vidrishna. By now, Bhishma's mind has become so transcendental. Transcendental in the sense, there was not even a tinge of material desire in that heart. Not even a tinge of material desire. It was completely finished with this world. In other words, for many years, as Shantanu's son, Bhishma, had the opportunity to manage the administration, isn't it? So much opportunity to be a powerful emperor at that time. Even after he gave the promise to Satyavati, he got the opportunity again when Vijitravirya and Chitrangada died. He took over the administration, managed the administration and handed it over back to Pandu as soon as they grew up. Just like when Lord Ramchandra went to the forest, he handed over the administration to Bharat. Bharat managed it as long as Ramchandra wanted him to manage it. When Ramchandra came back, what did he do? He handed it over back to Ramchandra. This was the greatness of these personalities in those days. What about today, you see? What happens? Do we have to discuss it? What happens today? The son puts the father into the prison and takes over. In many countries, even today that happens. Is it not? The military dictatorship, that goes on in another way. All the time they keep a watch on each other. Who is up to it now? So those things, and then in a democratic way people fight election to get the position. Look at the difference in Bhishma. When everything was available, being detached from them, not accepting it. This was Bhishma's position. Whereas we think Bhishma must be a fool, isn't it? Many people must be thinking, I'm sure, that he has got so much opportunity. Why did he not take it? Why did he not take it? What did he gain from not taking it? This is what we will ask, is it not? That's the question many people will ask. Why he had so much opportunity to take up the administration as the emperor at that time, in Bhishma's time. And he also had the opportunity to be, Kshatriya king's life was so much materially opulent. High level of sense enjoyment was available to them. But Bhishma decided not to take any of these things. So although in the eyes of the world, Bhishma could not understand Bhishma, Krishna understood Bhishma. And that is why Krishna has come. What pleases Krishna is this detachment from the material world. That ability to refuse sense gratification even when that is offered to one. Even when that is offered to one. That control of the senses, the mind, these are the things what impress Krishna. Krishna has spoken about this in different instances also. In the Bhagavatam you can see that. So here, in Bhishma's case, that is what has happened. Exactly like Bharata did with Ramchandra, Bhishma decided to manage the administration till Dhritarashtra or Pandu has grown up and handed it over back to them and stayed away. That's one thing. Secondly, look at Bhishma, marriage. Who normally people, everybody likes to get married in this world, isn't it? Sometime or the other. It's one way or the other, what is forcing them is not to get married is due to some other reasons. Due to various reasons it happens. In the modern world it's very complicated. But in those days, the Kshatriya kings had no difficulty. They will always find a bride if they want to marry. And Bhishma did not marry. Shastra says one should go through the, in some instances you will find in the Vedic state literature, there is instruction that one should throw from brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam, like that, in four processes. So people misunderstand that everyone should get married. This is the generally impression all the time, isn't it? Not only that, we force everybody to get married also. Children, when they grow up, when we would like to, once he gets married and gets settled, then everything should be okay. Although in these days, nothing is okay. So, So anyway, that is how it is taken for granted. But Bhagavatam is saying, Bhishma's understanding and Bhishma's realization on this is a little bit higher than these statements in the Vedic literature. When Bhagavata Dharma was discussed later on, in the assembly of King Nimi, between the great nine sages, Kavihari and all the nine sages, and the Nimi Maharaj, when that discussion happened, there is a statement there, in what circumstances marriage is necessary, for one. When one has no capacity to control the mind or the senses, one should get married. Marriage is not something mandatory for everyone. Marriage is something that is offered as a concession, not as a mandatory requirement in the life in this world. It's not a mandatory requirement. It is given as a concession. Loke vivayamisham adya seva nityostu jando nahidatra jodanaha. Bhagavatam says like that. Three things. These are the three major things in a human body. What are they? The tendency in us. What are they? One, to eat meat. That tendency is very strong in the human mind, human nature. It is very much there. Due to some tradition or due to some experiences in life or due to some fear, many people shy away from eating meat. But majority of the people eat meat in this world. Is it not? If you take the 6 billion or whatever the population in this world, how many people refrain from eating meat? Some people say, oh, I don't eat red meat, I eat white meat or this meat, that meat. They make all kinds of differences. Some people say, I don't eat cow, I eat chicken, so that I'm better off in that way, they feel. But still they eat. Some people say, I will eat certain things I don't eat, certain things I will eat. Some people say, certain days I don't eat, certain days I will eat. Like this, they have brought everything. But why all these restrictions have come? Loge vivayamisham adya seva nityostu jando nahidatra jodanam vivastisteshu vivahayajna suragraheira sunivrti rishta. Nivrti is the principle behind it. Nivrti means the intention of Vedic literature is not to pull the human body to more and more sense gratification. The intention is to restrain, to restrict everything. Eating meat, then second thing is drinking, intoxication, and the third thing is sex life. All these three things, according to Shastram, one who wants to advance in the spiritual path has to give up. It is required. That is what helps a person to progress on the spiritual path. And that is the reason why sannyasa is recommended in all cases, and sannyasam is respected for these reasons. That one is able to completely give up the needs of the body or sense gratification. So, loge vivayamisham adya seva nityostu jandor nahidatra jodanam. So, the desire is there in everyone to eat. Desire is there to drink. And desire is there to associate with the opposite sex. It's always there. Where did this come from? Because in our previous lifetimes, this is what we were doing. These three things were very prominent in us in many, many lifetimes. And we were not accustomed to giving up, particularly in the lower species. What else did we do? We were eating each other, weren't we? So that's what we were doing. Today we are saying, oh, we are civilized, this, that and the other. But our civilization, only you have to just rub it and see a little skin deep, you have to go. How advanced the civilization is, the so-called civilization. So, Krishna is saying here, in the Bhagavata Dharmam, when it is discussed in the Bhagavatam, the three things what elevates is one, loke vivayamisham adya seva nityostu jandor nahidatra jodanam. They are not required, strictly speaking, if one can manage without that. Then, vivastidisteshu vivahayajnam. But if you impose this on people, on a blindly, these restrictions on people, it won't happen. It will not be followed. People won't be able to follow. It will be very, very hard for them. So what Shastras do in such situation is, they give certain concessions. They give concession. They say, okay, if you cannot avoid association with the opposite sex, get married and live a restricted life in such a way that slowly that desire goes away from inside. That desire goes away. So in other words, it's a concession that has been given. Not that immediately we should get married and make a big celebration out of it. Oh, and that too in front of the deity, I have to go and tell Krishna, I'm starting my sex life tomorrow. That's why my marriage in front of you, I'm going to do this. This is all ridiculous, absolutely stupid things when we think about it. Because Krishna's understanding, if you go by the Shastram, all these things are not required. Krishna doesn't have to be witness of all of our sinful activities. And Krishna's point of view is, Loge vivayanushan adya seva nityostu jandor nahidatra jodana vyavasti iste eshu vivahayatyam suragraheirasu nivrtirishta. Nivrti margam is what is required, not pravrti. Pravrti means entangling more. I am getting into my material life, I am going to get into that bondage more and more. So Krishna, you be my witness for all what I am doing. This is the principle behind it. No, it is not. Vyavasthitisteshu vivahayatyam. Vivahayatyam means the marriage ceremony is performed for one reason. Surya agrahai asu nivrtirishta. Somehow or the other, one can come out of it at one point. Sex desire goes away from inside and become freedom from that. That is the goal behind it. Similarly, killing the animal. It says, Shastra says, if we want to kill them in a sacrifice. But there also, there is so many restrictions. It's not that it's freely allowed, you can kill as many as you want, and then you'll get into trouble. No, with a lot of restrictions, in the sacrifice you are allowed to kill. Allowed. But by the time you get to know all the reactions of doing such a thing, and when you realize that, that desire will go away. And not only that, in many instances, what actually is being killed is not the animal. It is actually the animalistic mentality of the person who is performing the sacrifice, that's what's getting killed. Not the animal. Animals, very often you will find in many of the sacrifices, the animal is made out of the rice flour. And then by mantra, it is given the strength. The animals are given the, who is going to be sacrificed, is given the life into it and taken away from that. That is how it is performed. So even eating meat, that restriction is very strong. And it is put a stop very much there, that with all sorts of restrictions on a particular sacrifice, and that too you have to accept it like a prasadam after the sacrifice, if it is to be eaten like that. So like this, it is not recommended. It is nivrti again, trying to come out of it, not to implicate in that further and further. And the third thing is, alcohol, one who is so much used to the pint, he is told, if you need a pint, really you need it, then the answer to that is that in the sacrifices you can drink. You can drink. You are allowed to drink in the sacrifices. But this pint is not easily made like that. Like the way Tetlis or something who is delivering it every morning at, in the Brahma Mohurtam itself, in the it's being delivered. So this pint doesn't come like that. This pint is prepared in such a way that there's a lot of effort involved in that. And so many restrictions associated with that. Once you, it is not open 24 hours, this. That's what I want to say. It's only very heavily restricted. So the goal is not pravrti, goal is nivrti, to come out of it. So in order to take out of these propensities in the human nature, which most of us have, these things are allowed with restrictions. That is what it is. Bhishma knew this. Bhishma knew this, and especially in the modern world, when people do not understand the purpose of marriage, as soon as we get married, what happens? Then we say to Krishna, we'll see you soon. That's finished, that's it. Krishna consciousness, up to that everything goes well. After the marriage, oh, now I got my family life to start, I got my mortgage to pay, I have no time for Krishna consciousness. And then when does he come back to Krishna? After a few children are born, and everything, the whole life has become a mess. The children are not listening. Wife is fighting day and night with the husband. At the end, he starts realizing what a mess I have made in my life. Then he comes back to Krishna again and says to him, remember I was with you for long, long ago? But then I had some business to do in my life. I finished all that. Now I'm back with you again. This is when we come back to Krishna. At later on, much later. So that is not what Shastra is saying. Shastra is saying that you take to Krishna consciousness before you enter into all these complicated affairs in this world. then you don't have to regret. And keep Krishna consciousness as the main business, not marriage, children, family life, mortgage payment, job, salary, all these things are not the important thing in life. So nivritti is the purpose behind all these things. Because in the modern society, these Vedic literature injunctions are not taken very seriously, everyone's family life becomes a mess at the end. Is it not? Everybody ends up in a mess. And then even it is too late to do anything about it. Because the trick in the family life, as it says there, not to get stuck with it. If you start sticking to family in any way, you will have to suffer. That is the principle of the family life. Krishna has very openly spoken about to Uddhava also, that that if you start sticking, so-called me, my wife, my children, and start sticking to it all the time, then you have to suffer for it. That's Krishna's answer to that question. So if you have to go through that, go through, but in such a way that you don't get dragged by that ultimately. That is the goal of family life also. Krishna spoke about it. So Bhishma knew this principle and he was clear in his heart. So he had no need to engage in marriage. That is why he gave up that the even marriage even. So that was, that not many people in this world had that wisdom and courage to do that. Or the understanding, proper understanding of that. Often many people are forced into brahmachari life. That is another thing. That has no meaning. But inside all the time the desire is coming back again. This is not on that understanding. This is based on Shastric understanding that Bhishma has done that. So now Bhishma is saying to Krishna, Idhima dhiruva galpida vidrishnam. So to say to Krishna, vidrishna, vidrishna means no desire inside. How many people can stand in front of Krishna and say to him, I have no material desire anymore? That's a very difficult thing. So Bhishma could say that, and that is why Krishna recognized that. But Bhishma also made one mistake here. Mistake in the sense, a mistake which Krishna liked it. That's why it's interesting. Why is that? If you remember, when Lord Brahma came to glorify Krishna, what did Lord Brahma do? Lord Brahma also made some mistake there. When Garbhastuti, in the Bhagavatam, we discuss this in the 10th canto. Brahma came up to Krishna and started, Krishna was lying in the prison house, in Kamsa's prison. Brahma arrived with all the other demigods. Lord Shiva was there and so many other great personalities, they all came and started the glorification. Brahmastuti, Garbhastuti it is called. Krishna was inside the Devaki Devi and Brahma is glorifying. They could see all these great personalities have come. When the glorification started, Brahma started saying completely from the level of the absolute truth, he started speaking like this. You are the absolute truth, you are the Brahman. From came out all the other, the material nature, Prakriti has come, Mahatattvam has come from you. All the material elements have come from that. And about the whole process, how Krishna has expanded into different entities, things like that, Brahma started speaking. It was then that Krishna turned around to the other side. He said, I don't want to hear all these things. Nobody need to tell me how I have created. This was Krishna's mood at that time. He said, "Not." Do you remember we talked about this in the 10th canto? So, I didn't come to this earthly planet to listen to all your telling me how these things have happened. I know how it has happened. Nobody need to tell me about it. Brahma sensed that straight away when Krishna turned to the other side, that he changed the whole the glorification in a different way and started talking about the Krishna's sweetness and what he has seen, all the beauty of Krishna. Like a devotee he started speaking. And that time Krishna said, Bhale Besh, first class, he said. That's what I wanted to hear from you. That same mistake Bhishma has done this. You can see there in the first verse. He started like this, Prakriti mube ayushiyal bhaval pravaha. That material nature is functioning because of you, he says to Bhishma. Bhishma says to Krishna. Krishna didn't look at Bhishma at that time. Turned his head. He said, I'm tired of hearing this. I didn't come here to hear from you about these things. Tell me what you have experienced about me when you are here. That was going through Krishna's mind. And when that was going through Krishna's mind, Bhishma immediately sensed that like Brahma did. That's why from the next verse onwards you will see it's a completely different story. Tribhuvanakamanam tamalavarnam rivikaragauravarambharam dadhane vavuralagulagunan abjem vijayasakhe ridirastumena vadhyam. The beauty of Krishna. What happened was Bhishma, beauty of Krishna. Three things immediately came up into Bhishma's mind. When Krishna wanted Bhishma to speak about what he thought about Krishna's experience with Krishna in this world, three things came up in Bhishma's mind immediately. What were they? One, first one, the battle in Kurukshetra, the battlefield of Kurukshetra, where Krishna's 10 days experience with Bhishma. What Bhishma experienced 10 days with Krishna. Those 10 days was the first topic he wanted to talk about. Secondly, what else? He thought something, he thought it's very important to mention here. What was that? The love of gopis to Krishna. Lalitagati vilasa valguhasam pranaya nirikshana kalpido rumanam kradamanu kradavatyam unmadhanda pragadimagayan kilayasa gobhavadvaham. That the love of gopis to Krishna, something Bhishma has kept it in his mind all the time. Bhishma has understood who gopis were. Remember, Bhishma is a brahmachari who is talking about this. If it was somebody else, we would not have given so much weight for that. But if a brahmachari like Bhishma has to speak about it, there must be something much more deeper to it than what we think about it. Is it not? Prakriti maghayan kilayasya gobhavadva. How the gopis have Gopi's relationship with Krishna. That is what Bhishma wanted to discuss. The second topic. Third thing, what was that? Muniganam rabhavaidya sangulande sadasa yudhishthira rajasuya meshe. In that Rajasuya sacrifice, how Krishna was glorified by everybody. That was one thing which was Bhishma was amazed by, how Shishubala was sent back home, back to Godhead, seeing Krishna's mercy. In all these cases, there is one important fundamental thing underlying all these things. What was that? In this appearance when Krishna came this time, it was a flow of mercy continuously coming from him. Anyone and everyone, they say it was a feast of liberation. A feast was offered, liberation it was called. Everyone, anyone and everyone. From the sixth day, when Putana came and wanted to feed Kalakuta poison to Krishna. Krishna says, you have fed me like a mother. You also go back to spiritual world. Sends her back. And in the very last minute, when Jara, the hunter, comes and shoots the arrow at his feet, Krishna says, you have done what I wanted. You also go back. Where else? Uddhava says, Ahobagi istayam stana Kalakutam jighamsayapaya yadapyasadvi lebhe gadim da trujidam kudonyu kamvadayalum sharanam rajema. Where else you will see this mercy? Uddhava says to Vidura about it. So this was what was going through Bhishma's mind. There is a lot of interesting aspects of Bhishma and Uddhava. In their glorification, if you compare them, you will find a lot of interesting comparisons, how they saw Krishna from their point of view. So here you will notice Bhishma was saying here that tribhuvanakamanam tamalavarnam, that seven verses he spoke about Mahabharata war, the battlefield of Kurukshetra, what happened. One verse he spoke about this incident of gopi's relationship with Krishna. And in the last verse, before concluding, he spoke about the experience what happened in Rajasuyam. Why Rajasuyam? That is another question, isn't it? Why Rajasuyam? Because in the assembly of Rajasuyam sacrifice, this issue came up, who should be worshipped? There is a system called Agrasana Puja. That is the puja where worship is offered to the greatest personality who is selected by the crowd who was present in the Rajasuyam. So all those who were present there, they were, discussion was going on, who should be worshipped. So people like many kings, there were so many powerful personalities were present there. You have to remember that. Great kings had come from different kingdoms. They were kshatriyas and they controlled a lot of the big kingdoms and lot of wealth. Very powerful personalities were present there. And so when the issue came up, who should be worshipped in the Agrasanam? And that issue, Sahadeva, the youngest of the Pandavas, proposed to Krishna's name. Who else proposed Krishna's name? Bhishma proposed Krishna's name. You see? Bhishma proposed Krishna's name. So Bhishma knew who Krishna was from then. Who is Krishna? So you can see that Rajasuya sacrifice, the objection from many others were, Krishna is not even a Kshatriya, they say. Who is Krishna? They were saying like this. As far as we know, his track record is this. He used to steal butter and cheese and other things in Vrindavan. Give a lot of trouble to the girls there. Then he ran away from there to Mathura. We don't know what happened there. From there, he killed his uncle. This is all Krishna's track record, CV. And then he ran over to Dwaraka from there. And in Dwaraka, what all he has done, he had married thousands and thousands of women. And he was living there. And this is the person we should worship in Rajasuyam. That was their question. Whereas many others, their argument was that we were born from very aristocratic families, very rich people, and very great learned people, and Kshatriya kings, powerful personalities. So one of them should be worshipped. That was their point. But Bhishma knew who should be worshipped. So Bhishma was very pleased when Krishna was worshipped by Rajasuya sacrificed by him. So all these three incidents came up to his mind. The incidents in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the gopis' relationship with Krishna, and the Rajasuya sacrifice. That is all he has covered in his glorification. What else? There is more important things in there. When Bhishma was speaking to Krishna, normally Krishna told Bhishma, you tell me, indirectly he was speaking to Bhishma, tell me how you felt, what did you feel in your relationship in me, how you related with me in all these years, what did you find me? Normally, if we were there, imagine we were in Bhishma's position, what we would have spoken? I can tell you what we would have spoken. We would have spoken, thanks for all what you have done, thank you very much for that. But I've done a lot of things in this world. Not one word Bhishma spoke about himself in this whole prayers. Such a personality, all the sacrifice he has done in his life, which requires a credit, isn't it? After all, it is credit worthy for his activities. Not a word he mentions about himself. This tyagam means sacrifice, is giving up happiness in this world for a higher purpose. That is called tyagam. Giving up the happiness of this world for a higher purpose. That is called tyagam. Bhishma has executed that throughout his life. In the Bhagavad Gita, when you come to chapter 18, this topic is discussed, moksha sannyasa yogam. Their tyagams are, the tyagam or giving up the happiness or sacrifice is discussed there in three different levels. Sattvikam, rajasam and tamasam. In the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion and in the mode of ignorance. People sacrifice many things in this world for happiness in this world. But in different modes they do it. Somebody does it in the mode of ignorance, somebody in the mode of passion, somebody in the mode of goodness. They do it in different modes. Now, under which category did Bhishma do it? That's another question, isn't it? What the difference between the three is? One who does not do his necessary duties in this world, necessary duties, what he is supposed to do, he doesn't execute them. That kind of sacrifice or tyagam is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. In the mode of ignorance. Certainly, Bhishma did not do that. Bhishma always executed his duty, did he not? Like when he had to run the administration, he took over the administration. When the administration was over, he handed it over back to them. Like this you can see, he did things what was necessary when it was required, but he refrained. He did not take it as the final goal of anything and carried on with it, number one. So definitely he did not do under the mode of ignorance this tyagam or sacrifice. Secondly, the sacrifice which you do not execute or the tyagam you do not perform under the mood of passion is like this. Suppose somebody thinks, if I have to do all these things, it's a lot of effort for me, physical effort and mental effort, kaya klesham it is referred to. And if you start giving up things because of that, that is also not accepted. That is considered to be in the mood of passion. If you sacrifice something in the mood of passion, that is considered to be due to fear of doing that and taking that effort from with the body. So the struggle with the body. That's Bhishma never did like that. He was always active. He did not consider anything as a burden for his body. He, even last minute, when Mahabharata war was to be fought, he brought came in as a warrior and a leader, commander, and fought the war. So he had no fear of that either. So in other words, what we are trying to say is that Bhishma's sacrifice was in the mood of goodness. That sacrifice was in the mood of goodness. So because of that, Krishna says in the 18th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita that this tyagam, what one makes in this world for higher purpose, if it is executed in the mood of goodness, that will lead him to happiness. That will lead him to happiness. And that is why Bhishma was happy in his life. Here we find Duryodhana with all his wealth, with all Dhritarashtra with all his wealth and all his kingdom, everything, they were unhappy. Bhishma, he had no kingdom on his own. He had no wealth of his own. But he was a happy person throughout his life in this world. He always maintained that happiness throughout. Why? Because of the sacrifice what he has continuously made throughout his life. So here, coming back to the Bhishma's glorification, Bhishma says to Krishna, Tribhuvanakamanam tamalavarnam revigauravarambharam dadhane vamralagulananam jamvamjam vijayasakheridirastumenavadhyam. Bhishma is saying to Krishna, in the battlefield, how Krishna was shining there. Krishna's curly hair, black hair, was dropping on either side. And at that time, because of the driving the chariot, a lot of dust in the battlefield. This dust has gone onto Krishna's body and it's completely covered with this dust. And not only that, Krishna was sweating as well. So the sweat and the dust together was sticking onto Krishna's body. And the hair, Krishna's crown and all has moved away and the hair has fallen off everywhere. And the beautiful form of Parthasarathi, as Krishna, Arjuna's charioteer, that form came up in his mind, in the mind of Bhishma. And Bhishma wanted to remember that again and again. He did not want to forget that. This Parthasarathi form is a very, very well-known form of Krishna. Because if you, I have to say this also, normally, Krishna's one of the greatest purpose on this mission was Mahabharata war. And this form, what Krishna has exhibited as Arjuna's charioteer, is a well-known form, to such a well-known form that the war has actually started, strictly according to the calendar, if you look at it, it was next Sunday, isn't it? Because Bhagavad Gita was spoken that day. And Mahabharata war has also begun on that day. After Bhagavad Gita was spoken and then Mahabharata war has started. So, not long ago, in the olden days particularly, the custom was, on that particular day, in every family, especially among the Brahmana families, in the morning, fruit and milk was offered to Krishna and Arjuna before they go to fight the war. They wanted, Krishna and Arjuna were going to fight the war. On that day, the offering is to Parthasarathi and Arjuna, not to any other form. The conception in the pujari or the person who is making the offering on that particular day is Krishna is in the Parthasarathi form. And this tradition has been continued for many, many thousands of years. Now, because we are so advanced now, we have given up all that. That's what we have done. What we say, oh, what Mahabharata war, what have I got to do with it? So many wars have happened. This is what modern concept about this, isn't it? Most of the people thinking that what is another war? There's so many wars going on in this world. As long as I'm okay, everything is fine. This is my understanding is that's how most of the people in the world see Mahabharata war. Mahabharata war was not a war like many other wars in this world. What has happened? Because of the presence of Krishna, that particular war is known. Anyone and everyone who died in that war has gone back to the spiritual world. Because they call it as the feast Krishna has offered there. Look at me and you can go back. Get killed, no problem, but you are going back to the spiritual world. Would you not like to fight a war like that, if you are going to be forced into that? Whereas we are put into all other kinds of war, day and night. And instead of going back to the spiritual world, we are frightened which other world we are going to go down, in which direction. Is it not? So this is why Mahabharata war is special. That special war, that is that tradition of seeing Parthasarathi and Arjuna together on that particular, especially the next Sunday, where it's happened to be the Gita Jayanti day, is that day where you have to offer your special special respect to Krishna, a devotional mood. One has to offer the sadhana to Krishna to go and fight the war and come back, and successfully. That was the prayers in many, many families. This was a tradition. It was not something imposed. It was automatically happened like that. It became like that. But now that is all gone, disappeared from this world. I don't think anyone take. Now what we do? We make government does a stamp out. One stamp is issued. People buy one stamp and stick it on the letter and post it. That's it. So this is the kind of things what we do today. What we are supposed to do is actually to remember Krishna, who is going to have this Mahabharata war happening. Because Mahabharata war is the war where so many people were liberated by Krishna's arrangement because of the presence of Krishna. Kamvadayalam sharanam rajema. Would you not consider that, is there anyone who is more merciful than Krishna, who has done like this? So, because of all these things, Mahabharata war was very special. Iti turaga rajo vidumra vishwa kachalila dashamavaja langradase mama nishida share vividyamanam tojivilajal kavajes to Krishna alpa. Next verse. Bhishma says to Krishna that Yudhitiraga Rajo Vidhumra Vishwak, that it was in this battlefield that I got an opportunity to shoot arrows at you. Is it not? Devotee is saying now to the Supreme Lord. Krishna is enjoying, yes, it was great fun fighting with you. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, to Bhishma. And Bhishma is saying, there, Mama Nishida Shareer Vividyamanam Toji Vilasal Kavachestu Krishna Alpa. Imagine what Bhishma has done. Bhishma has these 10 days, I think it was on the third day, that first Krishna broke Bhishma, Bhishma broke Krishna's armor. Not only broke the armor, the arrows hit the body and blood started coming out from Krishna's body. Blood was coming out. So Bhishma, you can imagine Bhishma's mind, what it would have been like then. Can you imagine that? That everybody can imagine, we are thinking every second we are offending Krishna, one way or the other. Here is Bhishma with the bow and arrow in the hand, shot at Krishna the arrows, and blood is coming from Krishna's body. That happened on the third day as well as on the 10th day. Third day Krishna didn't take it very seriously. Why? Because it was directed towards him. On the 10th day, Krishna took it very seriously because it was directed towards Arjuna. That's why he couldn't take it. So that was the difference between 3rd and the 10th day. Mama nishida shareer vividhyamanam kuji vilasal kavachestu Krishna alpa. Bhishma is remembering this nicely, that this has happened from my hand to you, and still, in spite of that, you had come to see me today. Look at Krishna's magnanimity, that great heart of the for the devotee. Advayasya anaham kradehe. Suppose if it was like us, one of us, if we fight with somebody today, at the time of death, would we go to see him? We will say, good that he is dying and gone, we'll say. That's how we will think. This is the difference between Bhishma and us. This is the difference between Bhishma and Krishna, and difference between us and Krishna. Our relationship with Krishna is like this. If Krishna hasn't given us anything what we have asked for, then we will say to Krishna, what's the point in coming to me now at the time of death? This is how we'll put it to Krishna. Our mind is all in the wrong direction. In every time it goes in the wrong way. Whereas Bhishma, on the other hand, is saying to Krishna, I shot these arrows, the blood came out from your body. In spite of that, you came to see me still, and seeing my, in spite of that, what I have done. Mama nishida shareer vividhyamanam kuji vilasal kavachestu Krishna alpam sapati sakivajo nishamya madhye nijavarayor belayor yatham niveshya sthitavadi parasaini gayurashna ahadavadi partha sakhera dirmamastu. There was something else happening at that time. What was that? I understood what was happening, he says. Bhishma says, I understood what was happening. What was happening? When you drove the chariot, officially you brought the chariot and parked in front of us. Bhishma was there, Drona was there, and all the other commanders of the army, they were standing there. Karna, Shalya, and so many others were there. The chariot was brought and parked. And Krishna started introducing in an official level to Arjuna. Arjuna knew who they were, but he was still saying in the Bhagavad Gita, I can see, this is Bhishma, who is the grandfather, and who is the commander-in-chief for the first day, and then Drona, then so and so, this, that, and the other, so many different names are spoken. Sabadi sakhi vajo nishamya madhyem. Hearing Arjuna's word, nijabare yo bhalayo ratham niveshya, brought the chariot right in front of us and parked it there. When you park the chariot, and when I looked, I understood one thing, he says, Bhishma says, what was that? Sthidavadi parasainik ayurashnakhradavadi partha sakhe radir mamastu. See, beautiful way how Bhishma spoke about it. He says to Krishna that you were telling Arjuna who we are, who is me, who is Drona, who is this. But actually I knew what you were doing. What you are doing is sthidavadi parasainik ayurashnakhradavadi. First, you will look at me and you will then look at Arjuna. While looking at me, you will take away my life, soul, strength, everything from me and pass it on to Arjuna. Now you have it. Sthidavadi parasainik ayurashnakhradavadi parthasake. Taking it from me, handing it over to Arjuna. You did this to every one of us, we were in the battlefield. Did you not? He says to Krishna. And Arjuna didn't know any of these things. Arjuna was thinking, oh, I am the champion. Like we are all thinking. It's me, Vijaya. I got this name Vijaya because I won Mahabharata. Like we are all saying all the time, we are questioning Krishna. Why Krishna is doing anything? I am doing everything. Same mentality, not much different. So, but Bhishma knew, sthidavadi parasainik ayurashnakhradavadi, taking away all the strength as well as the lifespan from me. At that moment I knew what is the result of the war. Bhishma says to Krishna. Krishna is smiling that time. Sthidavadi parasainik ayurashnakhradavadi partha sakhe radirmamastum. That friend of Vijaya, Arjuna, let my mind stay at your lotus feet. This is what he asked for. Bhishma says, radirmamastum. That word radhi, what Bhishma has used is very significant. Because radhi is a very special word in Sanskrit. Because it's a very highly developed, finer form of attachment to the lotus feet of the Lord, to lotus feet of Krishna. Uddhava also uses the same word in his final prayers to Krishna. So he says that let that radhi. Radhi means such an attachment which will never break any time, which will never break again. That kind of attachment to a lotus feet, let it happen to me. That is what Bhishma spoke at that line. Sabadi sakhi vajo nishamya madhye nijabarayo belayo ratham niveshya sthidavadi parasainika ayurashnakhradavadi partha sakhe radirmamastu. Saying this, he moves on. Next to the want. Vivahida pradana mukham nirishya sojana vadhad vimukasya dosha buddhya kumadi maharad alpa vidyaya yas charanaradi paramasya tasya mestu. Now, Bhishma says, what happened? Vavahida pradana amukham nirikshyam. His close friend Arjuna was standing there. And Arjuna, in ignorance, Kshatriya he is, but this great Kshatriya was saying to Krishna, I don't want to fight this war, seeing all of us. Sojanavadhad, vimukhasya, dosha buddhya. Seeing fault in killing us. Dosha buddhi means, what did Arjuna do? Arjuna Vishada Yogam, the first chapter in Bhagavad Gita, what does it mean? It means that Arjuna was feeling great guilty in killing all these great personalities like Bhishma, Drona, because they are all his teachers and they are all his own men. So Janavatham means killing my own men. Where did this all ignorance come from to Arjuna? Because Arjuna had not heard Bhagavad Gita at that time, isn't it? That is why he spoke in an ignorant way. But Arjuna was thinking at that time, I am a very intelligent person, wasn't he? Because you know in the Bhagavad Gita, in the first chapter, we discussed this. Sojanavadad vimukhasya dosha buddhyaham. that because of the fear of killing his own people, actually Krishna says in the second chapter, nobody kills anybody. Nobody can kill anybody. And nobody gets killed by anybody. All this is coming from the foolish identification with the body. That is what Krishna has spoken later, isn't it? In the contents of the Bhagavad Gita summarized in the second chapter of Sangha Yoga, Krishna talks about very powerfully about the soul, the nature of the soul. Bhishma knew this. Arjuna didn't know it. You see, that is why Arjuna was in ignorance and he was arguing to Krishna at that time. That's what Bhishma is reminding here. Kumadi mahar atmavidyaya charanaradi paramasyat asyamestu. His intelligence has gone kumadi, ignorant way. Bhishma says about Arjuna. Then what did you do at that time? Atmavidyaya charanaradi. Atmavidya, knowledge of the self was spoken. The spiritual knowledge was given to him and woke him up from his ignorance and made him to take up the bow and fight. Did you not do that? Bhishma says to Krishna. That is the Bhagavad Gita side of it. Bhagavad Gita, Bhishma remembers what was happening there. Every single incident what happened in the Mahabharata war is known to Bhishma. So Nigamavayam Alpraditnyamadam Adigartum Avapludhoradastam Vridacharanabhayo Chalalgulgur Haririva Handumibham Gadotariyam. Then in the next verse he reminds him of the what happened. That on the 10th day when I attacked you fiercely, I realized that you are not going to respond. Because as you know that at the beginning of the war there was this agreement, there was this vows taken by Bhishma, and Bhishma has taken the vow that he will fight with Arjuna and kill him. And also Krishna has taken the vow that he will not take a weapon. He has taken the vow as well. So the crisis came up now. Krishna has to uphold the vows of Bhishma. Sodigamavahayam alpraditnyamadam adigastum avapludhoradastam. Then Krishna has given the promise that he would not take the weapon in his hand. That was the promise he has given to him. And he started saying that Krishna had to take the weapon eventually, as you know. So nigamam abhayam alpraditya amrutam adigartum avapludho rathastam dhritaratha charanabhaya chalalgur haririva handumibham gadottariya. That Krishna wanted that at one point Bhishma has succeeded in Krishna was saying that the promise Krishna has taken was that I will not take the weapon. Bhishma has taken the vow that I will force Krishna to take the weapon. This was the competition between Krishna and Bhishma. So the war on the 10th day, Bhishma realized that Krishna is not going to take the weapon, no matter what he does. So he got so aggressive with Arjuna, and he started firing arrows in such a way, very powerful weapons, he started firing at Arjuna. And Arjuna was in deep trouble. And at one point, Arjuna was more or less saying to Krishna, let us turn the chariot back and go away. And that stage has come. So when that stage has come, Krishna realized that he had to make a decision. Should I uphold my word or should I make his word come true? This was the crisis and that. As I mentioned before, in those days, people, when they have taken a vow and they have spoken something, their word was given a lot of value for it. That was taken as a big thing in life. It's not spoken in a very light-hearted way. We make one promise today and next moment we change it. And we say, that's all it is. That suits me now at the moment. So I change it. So that's not the nature of those personalities. They were not like that. They were very strict about these things. Because the words that are spoken from the mouth, that is also equally powerful as the way you act in this world. So anyway, that is what has happened. So at that point, what did Krishna do? Eventually, when it became unbearable, Krishna told Arjuna, I'm going to kill this old man now. I can't stand him anymore, he said. Saying this, he took the disc and came out from the chariot. Krishna is running towards Bhishma. Bhishma was standing there very happily that he has got his word. His word has been upheld. That is coming. His promise has been upheld. Seeing that, Krishna was running towards Bhishma. Arjuna was chasing Krishna to stop, not to do it. And in that process, Uttariyam, the second cloth of Krishna has fallen off on the street, on the ground. And Arjuna has picked it up and holding Krishna and pulling back. Stop this, come back here, he says to Krishna. What are you doing? You have taken this vow that you will not take the weapon and you are now stone to start to kill Bhishma like this. What will people say about it? You see how much Arjuna was feeling about it. To think that Krishna has broken his promise. But Bhishma says, I am not surprised about it. Why? Because Dhridharadha charana abhaya chalal gaur hariri vahandumibham gadotariya. Just like a lion runs towards an elephant, when the lion and the elephant fight, lion jumps and hits on the forehead of the elephant. And that's where the powerful hit that comes from the lion and elephant falls there. Even the powerful elephant falls at that time. So the same thing, Krishna was coming in the same way towards me. Bhishma says like this. And that is how that situation was said. Shita Vishikado Vishirnadam Shachadabariplam Adadainomi Prasama Vibhisaramadvadartam Sabhadume Bhagavan Gadir Mukundam Vijayadakudamam Atadotredu the Hereshmini Tachri Akshani Bhagavadira Dirastume Murshor Rimihandri Chakada Gada Surubam. At that time, Krishna's body, because of the blood that was coming out from him, from his body, he looked so different. And I was feeling so blissful because I have succeeded in keeping my word. That I succeeded in making Krishna to take the weapon. That is Krishna's decision that even if my word may not come true, but my devotee's word will never fail. Krishna wanted to prove that. That is how much Krishna cares for a devotee's word. For Krishna, as far as a devotee is concerned, when it comes to a devotee, Krishna won't make any compromise there. First thing, devotee. After that, everything else. Whether he's a jnani, or a karmi, or a yogi, or this, or that, nothing matters. As far as Krishna is concerned, devotee is the first. First consideration is devotee. And that is what was proved there. Then, we will stop there today, it's 5 past 8. So, we'll continue this. And next Sunday, that is the Bhagavad Gita Jayanti day. We'll start a little early. Apparently there is some program here. And so we'll have to start a little early. We'll start at 5 o'clock. And we'll finish at 7:30 next Sunday. And then continue from then onwards. There is a lot more things in the Bhishma study. We'll discuss that next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.